عليكم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أيضا اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم إسلام دينا وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أيضا إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الآخر إن حلال بين وإن حرام بين وبينهما مشتبهات لا يعلمهن من الناس لا يعلمهن كثيرا من الناس أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. My dear respective brothers and sisters, we give thanks and praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessed religion of Al-Islam. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us this blessed gift of Al-Iman. For verily, we cannot stop thanking Allah for these two ni'mat, for these two favors. Because without these two things, we will be no one, we will be considered as nothing, we will be considered worse than the animals, worse than the dogs, worse than the beasts. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has blessed us with Al-Islam. He has blessed us with Iman. And these are two things we should always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And we should always make dua to Allah and ask Allah, Oh Allah, let me die as a Muslim. Let me die believing in you and following the way of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Al-Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ittaqullah haqqa tuqatihi, fear Allah as He ought to be feared. Wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that do not die except that you are submitting. Do not die except that you are submitting to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not die excepting that you die as a Muslim. And every day we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this gift of Iman and Islam. And make dua to Allah that, Oh Allah, keep me in the fold of Islam. And this will be coherent with the fact that our actions are in accordance to what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created us, He has created us from nothing. From nothing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made us something. And in making us something, He has made us from the best of His ummah, the best of His nation. So much so, we are known as khayru ummah, the best of all the entire nation, the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a jism, a body. And this body, my dear respective brothers and sisters, it doesn't belong to us. It does not belong to us. Even though we take so much of time, we take so much of care to ensure that this body is nourished, it is protected, it is clothed. We take so much of time to ensure that we beautify this body. It is not ours. It is an amanat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted us with this body for a period of time. Because if there is any disease, if there is any sickness, if there is old age that is to come to this body, no one can stop it. No one can delay that process. No matter how far we advance in technology, no one can delay the process of aging. No one can delay this process. Because all of this is in the hands of Allah. And this body which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained to us
through his prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in his holy book Al-Quran, how we should utilize, how we should use this body, what we should nourish this body, how we should cleanse this body. We cannot cleanse our body how we feel like, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran concerning wudu, how we will cleanse the body, how we purify the body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even shown us how as individuals we should nourish this body, what we should nourish this body with. This is not my call and it is not your call. But whatever Allah and His Rasul had explained to us, this is what we have to use to nourish this body. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has explained in a hadith, and I will read the entire hadith so we will have a better understanding. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه from Hazrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, قال, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن الله تعالى طيب, that verily Allah, He is good, He is pure, He is طيب, He is طيب, لا يقبل إلا طيبا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not accept anything excepting if it is pure. Anything, Allah does not accept it except that it is pure, whether it be of a physical nature or whether it be of a spiritual nature. If a person is performing salah, but his salah is perfect from the beginning to the end, it is perfect, but his intention is to show people, whether it be for salah, whether it be for fasting, any form of ibadah, if his ibadah is done in a perfect manner, the physical nature of it is perfect, but the spiritual nature of it is not perfect, he's doing it for riya and for show, Allah will not accept it. Allah will not accept it. Allah will not reward you for it. Actually, it will be flung into your face and you will be punished on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah for it. What about the physical nature? If a person performs his salah, he has the best of intentions, the most perfect of intention he has, but with this intention, he intends to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but with the intention, the physical nature of his salah is not intact. Why? Because his clothes is impure, the place he's performing salah is not clean, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept that salah. Salah is not accepted because his body, his clothes, the place of prayer is not clean. So Allah will not accept it. If a person does qurbani, as we just finished the month of, actually we are presently in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. We did the qurbani. If a person is doing the qurbani, but when he does this qurbani, he has the best of animal. And he says that I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, but in reality he's doing it for people to say, oh wow, he is performing the sacrifice and that is his intention so that people can see it, Allah will not accept it. And on the other hand, if a person has the best intention, but that animal, he obtained that animal to a haram source, he went and stole someone's animal. He stole an animal and he doing his qurbani. He says, well, I want to do the qurbani for the pleasure of Allah. And he stole an animal to do the qurbani. Allah will not accept it. So, لا يقبل إلا طيبا. Allah do not accept anything except that it is طيب, except that it is good, it is pure. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has commanded the mu'mineen, Mu'minina wal mu'minat, the believing men and the believing women, He has commanded them just as how He has commanded the messengers. In the same way how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the prophets, He has also commanded the mu'minin and the mu'minat, the believing men and the believing women. There is no double standard. So if the prophets, they have to eat halal, they have to earn halal, they have to do that which is good, it is the same thing for the believing men and the believing women. That we have to eat halal, we have to do that which is good. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the same hadith, he continued to say, he says, فَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلْ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, eat from that which is good, that which is pure, وَأْمَلُوا, and do صَالِحًا, do that which is righteous. This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has commanded the messengers that they eat that which is pure. وَأْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, and they do righteous actions. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continued to say in the hadith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, believing men and believing women, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, eat that which is good, eat that which is halal, eat that which is pure, مَا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ, for which we have provided for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided halal sustenance. No matter which place on the face of this earth you go, you will always find that which is halal. You will always find that which is pure that you can eat. But then there are those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us. He has told us that you stay away, you refrain from it, do not eat it. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ, sorry, ثُمَّ, then, ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلَ, then he mentioned about a man, يَتِيلُ السَّفَرُ, who, this man is on a long journey, أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ, he is disheveled and dusty, يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, and he stretches out his hands to the skies, he stretches out his hands to the heavens, and he is saying, يَا رَبْ, يَا رَبْ, he is saying, oh my Rabb, oh Allah, oh Allah, وَمَطْعَمَهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبَهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسَهُ حَرَامٌ وَعُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ, that his food is haram, his drink is haram, وَمَلْبَسَهُ حَرَامٌ, and his clothing is haram, وَعُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ, and he's been nourished by haram, فَأَنَّا يَسْتَجَابُ لَهُ, so how is it that his du'as, how is it that his supplication will be answered? How his supplication will be answered? Let us understand something very carefully, my dear respective brothers and sisters. الدُّعَى مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ, that du'a is the essence of your ibadah. Du'a is the essence, it is the core of your ibadah. If your du'a is defective, then it will automatically, indirectly affect your forms of ibadah. But here a person is making supplication to Allah, oh Allah help me, oh Allah I'm in need, oh Allah guide me, but his du'as are not accepted. He is making du'a for his family, but his family is not corrected. Why? Because his du'as are not accepted. He is making du'a for the betterment of himself, but he is not bettering himself because his du'as are not accepted, because it has been rejected. He is making du'a for health and strength, but he is getting more sick. He says, what is happening? I'm making du'a day and night, 5 times a day. After every salah, I hear that du'as are accepted. I'm making du'a, but it is not accepted. Why? Because your haram food, your haram drink, and your malbas and your clothes is haram. How do you expect that your du'as be accepted, my dear respective brothers and sisters? This is just the first part of it. This is just a simple part of it. It is mentioned that there was one ummah, a nation, who, anytime a tyrant king used to be placed over them, they used to make dua to Allah to get rid of him, to take him out, to remove him. And Allah used to answer their duas. So once this tyrant king, he went into power, when he received power, the first thing he did, he decided that he invited all of them to a banquet, every single one, and he says, eat to your heart's content, fill your stomachs. At the end of it, he called them, he says, listen, he says, I'm not afraid of your du'as anymore. I'm not afraid of your du'as. He says, because you have just eaten haram. And this is what the predicament that we are in today. Look at the state of the ummah. Today we are making du'as and our du'as are not accepted. Why? This is the only thing that we have to connect us back with Allah. Du'as. The du'a is a weapon of a Muslim. Don't you see, open your eyes, you will see, when they do this, they're taking away your powers as Muslim. This is the only thing we have, du'as. So when we feed ourselves with haram, we drink haram, we eat haram, we wear haram, then when we make dua to Allah, Allah will not answer us. Look around us, how many things today is haram? Every single thing you drink, it is haram. You eat, is haram. It is a plan, a well orchestrated plan. It is a war that they are fighting that you don't even understand. Saying something is halal, it is the responsibility of the learned. But to ensure that you consume that which is halal and haram, it is not the responsibility of the alims. It is not the responsibility of any institution. It is an individual responsibility. Allah will not ask me, O Umar, O Sean, why it is that you have allowed so and so to eat haram? I made the claim. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ It is only for us that we convey to you. After that, our responsibility has come to an end. We don't have to go and mako and look and spy. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَتَجَسَّسُ Do not spy. We don't have to go and spy and see who is eating haram and halal. That is not our responsibility. But it is your responsibility to ensure that what you consume, it is halal. It is halal. In another hadith reported by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, An Abdullah ibn Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, from Abdullah ibn Nu'man ibn Bashir, may Allah be pleased with both of them, he said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, saying, إن حلال بين. That is the beauty of Islam. Islam is a very simple religion. It is only we who make it difficult upon ourselves. إن حلال بين. Verily that which is halal is clear. It is clear cut from the Quran and it is clear cut from the hadith. Inna halala bayyinun wa inna harama bayyinun, and that which is haram is also clear. Wa baynahuma, and between the both of them, between these two things, umuran mushtabihat, is those doubtful matters. From time to time, from age to age, from era to era, we will find those things which was not clearly stated in the hadith, which was not clearly stated in the Quran, from time to time. Whether a mufti passed a fatwa or not, from time to time we will encounter these things. But the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained to us, he has informed us how it is that you should deal with those things that you yourself become doubtful about, because sometimes we go to a mufti, we go to this one, we go to that one to ask a masla because we are hoping that I will get a favorable answer. But the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a more simpler technique than that. Something is haram, it is clear. Something is halal, it is clear. But between these two things, there are doubtful matters. لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ Who many people, they will not know about it. So the ulama, the scholars, they may give fatwas, they may explain it, and they may try to give some clarification to it. But even with this, what should be our approach concerning those doubtful matters? فَمَنِ اتَّقَى So whosoever he approaches that shubuhat, those things which are doubtful, whosoever he refrains and he stays away from those doubtful matters, فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ Certainly, he has safeguard لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ He has safeguard his deen, his religion, وَعِرْضِهِ and his honor. Staying away from doubtful matters is not haram. It doesn't make a person fall into sin. But staying away from doubtful matters, it will help him protect his deen and his honor. So why fight down if something is doubtful? Why fight it down? What is the purpose? What is the reason? Would you get more blessing when you fight down something which is mushtabihat, which is doubtful? Or would you get more sin if you fight it down? What is the reason? Something is doubtful, then all we have to do is stay away from it. And that will be the means by which you can protect your deen and your honor. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ. And whosoever he finds himself involving in those doubtful matters. Because what is really doubtful? I put a pot of pilau. I throw some beef in it, some haram beef and halal beef, in the same pot, and I make the pilau. So at the end of it, the brother said, but the brother, I see the brother throw halal, and I see it halal. Look, he buy halal beef. Okay, mashallah. But then there's another brother who throw haram beef. How would you differentiate and distinguish which is halal and which is haram? He says, no worry, I think the one that he cooked that is bigger, I will take that one. That one is halal. The smaller one is the haram. I wouldn't need that one. Why it is you have to involve yourself? Stay away. So whosoever he involves himself in mushtabihat, in those doubtful matters, waqa'a fil haram, he will fall into that which is haram. Anyone who involves himself, so if he say, well, I see the brother put halal, and he goes and eat it, automatically he will fall into that which is haram. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a very beautiful simile where he says, karra'i, it is like the shepherd, yara hawl al hima, who he grazes his flock in a sanctuary, yushiku an yarta'a fihi, and they are grazing in it. Ala wa inna li kulli malikin himan, and verily for every king is a sanctuary. Ala wa inna himallahi maharimuha maharimuhu, and verily the sanctuary of Allah is those things which he has prohibited, those things which he has made haram. Very beautiful simile. It means that this shepherd who's grazing his flock, just there is the borderline. It is not far off. So he has to take caution. Do not go close. Because the possibility is that you can go over. You can go beyond boundaries. And that is the things which Allah has made haram. So it means that as individuals, as Muslims, do not ever try to come too close to those things which is doubtful. Because by coming close to those things which are doubtful, automatically you might end up into that which is haram. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, he says, Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudgha, verily in the body is a lump of flesh, a mudgha. Idha salahat, salaha al jasadu kullu. When this lump of flesh is good, then the entire body becomes good. Wa idha fasadat, and if this lump of flesh becomes fasid and corrupt, fasad al jasadu kullu, then the entire body becomes corrupt. Ala wahi al qalb, and this is the heart. So my dear respective brothers and sisters, I don't have much time because there's a lot of things I want to elaborate on, but I don't have much time. But let me just put it in a nutshell for you. Halal is clear, haram is clear. Between those two things is those things which are doubtful. At the end of the day, it is our responsibility. It is your responsibility. If an institution, if an individual informs you what they are doing, they are only doing you a favor. It is not fair upon them to inform you, to make it mandatory to go and spy on you, just to give you the information and that's it. But it is for us as Muslims to ensure that we eat that which is halal. And this is all a part of the test of being a Muslim. So I hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides all of us upon the sirat al-mustaqim. May He allow us, inshallah, that we will live as Muslims and die as Muslims. And may He guide us upon the straight path. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح
الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أيضا إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم إسلام دينا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث إن حلال بين وإن حرام بين وبينهما مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث إن الله تعالى طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبا وإن الله أمر المؤمنين بما أمر به المرسلين فقال تعالى يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا الصالحات وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من الطيبات ما رزقناكم ثم ذكر الرجل يطيل السفر أشعث أخبر يمد يديه إلى السماء يا رب يا رب ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنى يستجاب له أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وشدهم في أمر الله عمر واصدقهم حيان عثمان وقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة وحمزة أسر الله وأسر رسولي. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم. وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. وإقام الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة هيا للفلاح هيا على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Please ensure the lines are straight and leave no spaces in between, inshallah. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم خير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها. قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. كذبت ثمود بتغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها. فكذبوه فعكروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها. الله سميع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم خير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية الله سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
Respected brothers and sisters, a few short announcements. Some stuff that has been over the period of years dropped at the masjid, left behind, watches, little pieces of jewelry and all of that. A couple of years has gone by. Maulana Said has a good bit of it in the office. We're asking people to look and see if anything belongs to them and take it. If not, it will be given away in Sadaqah, inshallah. Remember, on Sunday night, We are looking for the new moon. Sunday night we're looking for the new moon. And Maktab attendance dropped a little bit. The exams finished now. Make sure the children come out. Tomorrow, ladies program right here at the masjid upstairs, dealing with the topic of Muharram. Inshallah. Jazakumullah. As we leave the masjid, give a little contribution for the upkeep of the Jamaat.